to The Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki. Siobhan.
Hello, Kiki. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you? How have you been?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, we're sitting here in your cabin on this really lovely, mild February morning.
Afternoon.
Yeah, afternoon. Sorry.
Well, you're probably a bit confused.
I'm a bit confused.
You've been busy working a lot?
Yes, yeah, doing nights at the moment, so I don't know if it's day or night.
No, it is kind of day now.
Yes, it's daytime. Yeah. It's quite nice to see the sun.
I know. It's been nice the last few days actually.
Yeah. And what have you been up to?
Well, I have been busy making an online doula course.
Fantastic.
And just trying to, I have so many ideas in the middle of the night.
Is this like a self-paced one?
Yes, it's a self-paced doula course that you can sign up for. It's got over 100 lessons now, I was going to say. That's not quite true. It's 8 modules that you go through. And then at the end of that, you obviously become part of the Birth Bliss Academy. And
that's great. So that's going to work really well for, I know we sometimes have teachers who, obviously, because of their work, there's often not a course running during the school holidays,
exactly,
which would suit them. So this is quite good, isn't it?
Absolutely. For anyone that can't get out to travel to any of the locations.
Yeah, perfect.
It's going to be really good. Absolutely. So I'm excited about that. But have you done anything else apart from your doula work?
No, just work. Yeah. Have I done anything else?
Can't remember. I mean, have you written any books? Have you?
No.
Have you flown off on any nice holidays?
No, I haven't written any books. I haven't launched any new websites. I haven't.
But you're really busy with, there's a lot of new people signing up for our accreditation program, isn't there?
The accreditation's really busy, which is great. I have been working actually at the university.
Yes. I knew you were doing that.
There is that. I did 2 lectures, which was really good.
That's excellent, Siobhan.
One was to the shortened 18-month midwifery program, which is nurses coming through.
Okay.
And the other was to some to the cohort of first-year student midwives, which was really interesting.
Oh. What was something that stood out? Did they have any questions about doulas? Did they miss
something? No, they knew what doulas were, which was brilliant. I was really pleased. And even, you know, the first-year students, there was a lot of young ones.
Okay.
You know, who haven't had their kids yet.
No.
You know, they're straight out of sixth form. And even they knew what a doula was.
Oh, that's
so that
wonderful.
Was really good. What stood out? I think there is a big difference between the ones who have come through as nurses in the 18-month shortened program.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of, yeah, but what if, you know, and we have to do this and we have to do that.
Okay.
So it's kind of just breaking that down a bit.
Yes. That actually their patient, whatever they call them, we call them our clients, has to be subjected to certain things because they have to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So it was very much all driven by the policy of the hospital
rather than
thinking about the perspective of the person in front of you.
Yeah, which it should be, person-centred, woman-centred care.
Well, that's what my talk was all about.
Oh, excellent.
So, yeah, I'm hoping that they did a 180. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they did. They enjoyed the talk, so I'm pleased. So that was good. So I've been involved in that couple of lectures and then also involved in the recruitment interviewing for September's new intake of student midwives. So that's interesting.
Yeah, there you hear, like, doulas out there. This is very forward thinking, I think, for a university to take on an expert by experience, which is your title.
Yeah, that's what they call us.
Yeah, which I think is brilliant because you are then widening the, we need people from all different perspectives when
Absolutely.
We're looking at.
Otherwise it's too insular.
Yeah.
You know, the education is too insular. Uh-huh. You have to start seeing things from the outside
yes.
as well.
Yeah, and often if you have people that have always been in education, it becomes hard to not to think outside of that. Like everyone should have someone
that doesn't know anything about that specific setup to come in with their expertise in the field rather than how you would run a training or whatever. So that's great.
Yeah.
Well, we should crack on with the show then, Siobhan.
Yeah, we've got a good one today.
Dilemmas. Okay, let me get ready to read this month's doula dilemma. A doula volunteers at an NHS hospital as a breastfeeding peer supporter, and she's been asked if she can provide the service outside of the hospital.
Oh, you mean once the parents get home? Interesting dilemma.
I know, because we do have quite a few doula volunteers.
Yeah, we do. There's lots of doulas that volunteer in their local NHS trusts as peer supporters.
Yeah, and I bet if they went and asked their line manager or whoever, they would be told
no.
Yeah. I just think that's so mad.
Well, it's
here we go.
It's the NHS, and the NHS love a bit of red tape.
Well, you get. I just find it so crazy, the whole idea that, so we know in this country people find it, struggle with breastfeeding. I mean, they do everywhere across the world, but it's really difficult to get support.
It's
here.
The support, that's the struggle.
So
yeah.
A new parent, a new mum, is getting help in the hospital, and she kind of says, look, do you do this outside of the hospital? Because I'll be happy to pay for you to come around and help me out to get the breastfeeding right.
Yeah.
And this person who's there has to say, I'm afraid I'm not allowed to. So now we have made it even more difficult for this mum to find someone to help her with the breastfeeding. And I know even people that are IBCLCs working within a trust, even they can't go and support someone that needs help with breastfeeding if it's out, if they met in the hospital through the NHS. It just doesn't, I just think it's crazy. But what we're not looking at is, okay, so what's the issue here? Women haven't got easy access to breastfeeding support. Or they have. They get volunteer help in the hospital, or an IBCLC working as an infant feed coordinator.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they can't help them when they get home.
Yeah.
So they have to go home, ring numbers, look up websites, trying to find someone to help them. And then we wonder, why aren't breastfeeding numbers increasing?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the NHS will say if something was to happen.
Yeah, but like what?
Then potentially it puts them in a vulnerable state to be held liable.
But so, okay, so take an obstetrician, right, that works in an NHS trust and does, you know, their shifts there. Are they not allowed to have a private practice and where they work privately?
Yes, they are.
Ooh, interesting.
But, yes, but they can't just start dishing out there saying, well, you can go on the waiting list on the NHS and I'll see you in 30 years' time.
Yes.
But here's my card if you want to come and see me privately at Harley Street. They can't do that.
Can't they?
No. You can look them up.
Yeah, so...
So you could do your own due diligence.
Okay, so if I say, oh, do you have your own private practice? And they go, yes. That's all I need to know. I can now go and look you up.
Yes, I
suppose. So what about the breastfeeding supporter here or the IBCLC?
Yeah.
They still, the obstetrician or the doctor, whoever specialist, still met that patient within the NHS and is still allowed to...
Practice privately.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's where you say, yes, I do this privately. Here is my card.
Okay.
I think it's that. It's that initial giving them perhaps the details would be...
Yeah, but
the
that's
issue.
What from what I understand, and obviously this is not, and this is anecdotal from, you know, people I've heard this from, saying that they tried to ask the IBCLC to come to their house and they were happy to pay for it.
Mm.
And she said, I can't do that because I've helped you here in the hospital.
But could they not have gone and looked her up?
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
Yeah, they probably could have done that. But
But this is what is such a great. It's like the. But I think confusing.
I think the issue with that IBCLC, I'm guessing it is a midwife.
Yeah.
Yeah, is probably she's just petrified of her pin.
Yeah.
It's all fear. Everything is fear in the NHS. I mean, God, I can't imagine working somewhere where you're just petrified that if you breathe the wrong way, someone's going to sue you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It must be draining and exhausting. Yeah. No wonder there's such a massive burnout.
Yes. But I mean, what I have heard these volunteers do sometimes is that I think there's someone that records breastfeeding videos on YouTube.
All right.
And says, well, let me give you some links to some videos I recorded that will help with positioning.
Okay.
And then they can find her that way.
Yeah.
I think there's others that actually show their Instagram and said, well, this is me. Would you be allowed to do that?
I mean, probably not.
No.
If you told your line manager or whatever you call your volunteer coordinator, somebody asked me, could I come, and could they pay me to come privately? Yeah. And I said, I can't technically do that, but here's my Instagram account. Yeah. They probably would still get a wrap across the knuckles for that.
Yeah.
Look, it's not that hard to find somebody, is it?
It's
you
not.
Could just say, what's your name?
Yes.
Then all you got to do is Google Kiki Hansard, doula, breastfeeding, and they'll find you.
Yes.
I think it's just the actual, here's my card, here's my number.
So I can understand.
Here, I've got a card machine in my back pocket. Do you want to pay now?
But do you know what? We got the really good solution. I've just thought of this. You know the ID badges that have on the doula directory? Yeah, just scan the QR code and you have
But
my
again,
details.
That would probably be seen as a
You're
no,
probably
no.
not allowed to wear that.
You wouldn't be allowed to wear that lanyard, no.
But I do find it, maybe if someone's listening out there, know exactly what you can and can't do.
Well, you know when you train, I might be wrong, but I thought that if you train with, oh my God, my brain's gone. Who are the breastfeeding organisations?
ABM.
Yeah, ABM or
BFN, Breastfeeding Network.
So if you do,
NCT.
If you do their, I don't know about NCT, but if you do the others peer support training, you're not allowed to chart. You're not allowed to practice, are you? You have to volunteer.
Well, the ABM has got a specific course just for postnatal doulas, which means they pay for that.
Yeah.
And then they can go off and do whatever they want.
Okay.
And so what you're saying is if you're getting paid as a postnatal doula and all you're doing is offering breastfeeding support and you've had voluntary, like free training through the ABM or the BFN.
Yeah, you're not allowed
because you are literally making money whilst you're trained for nothing. You need to do so many voluntary hours after you've completed your...
So once you've completed those voluntary hours, you can then charge?
Well, I think what they do is, you know, they do... Say I do 3 hours postnatal.
Mm.
One of those hours was free breastfeeding support. And then, you know, I charge for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But I said one of those hours.
But that's what I'm saying is there's an example of where you...
That's true. I also don't agree with that.
No.
I mean, yeah, I can see where you shouldn't... If you're doing your voluntary as well as charging, as a postnatal doula, as long as you also keep up your voluntary work, which you have agreed to do.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
If you've trained free, then you need to give back.
100%.
There's nothing worse. I mean, we saw it in our own NHS Trust.
Yes.
Where they'd done this amazing training for, I think it was 12 weeks, wasn't it? And I think two out of the entire cohort actually...
Yeah.
Volunteered.
Yeah.
Which I think is terrible.
Yeah, that is terrible. But going back to this poor postnatal doula.
The thing I
think we should remember, though, when you volunteer as a breastfeeding peer supporter or supporter in a hospital, you do gain a lot of experience and knowledge.
Loads.
So for that in itself, it's a great skill then to use in your in your postnatal or doula work, whatever doula work you're doing.
Yeah.
And I guess there must be, because you can wear different hats, can't you?
I mean, when I used to do it, because I did it in two NHS trusts, yes, volunteering.
Yes, I know you did.
One of the NHS trusts had a fantastic breastfeed. I mean, this was all pre-COVID. One of them especially had a fantastic community of drop-in centres. So there was plenty of places these people could go,
okay, excellent,
to get support.
Yeah.
So, of course, that would always be my go-to.
Yes.
You know, here is where you can find all the information about all the different children's centres,
yeah,
that have got drop-in. Like every day of the week,
yeah,
there was somewhere
they could go for
that
help.
You could get to.
Yeah.
Well, potentially.
Yeah.
And
the other one wasn't.
The other one didn't have that much, but I don't remember being asked.
To help out.
Did I get asked at that? I can't remember.
I'm sure people that aren't postnatal doulas and volunteer at the hospital get asked.
Probably.
But yeah. Because when you meet someone in that vulnerable state of having just had a baby and someone's nice to you and...
Yeah.
You know.
There's a lot of politics around breastfeeding, though, don't
yes.
you think?
Yeah.
With the training as well.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there's the hierarchy. They've got peer support, haven't
yeah.
you, which is basically what doulas do. It's
yes.
position and attachment.
Yeah.
Then you have counsellors.
Yeah.
Isn't there another one before the IBCLC? Counsellors and...
No, I think that is it. That is it.
And then I've noticed there's also a lot of people calling themselves breastfeeding specialists.
Yes. Infant feeding specialists.
What does that mean?
It means that they have... Anyone can call themselves that.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Have they had any...
They might have had some training, but maybe, you know, like, whose name we shall not mention.
Oh, her.
Yeah. I mean, the used to be a midwife 40 years ago and has written some books on breastfeeding.
Mm.
She's not up to date with any of her breastfeeding knowledge, and yet she's a breastfeeding specialist or expert.
Yeah, I think the word, yeah, it's. I don't know if it's from my own training when I trained as a peer support and was
yeah.
taught all about the different, you know, where your remit is,
yes.
and when yeah. to signpost on. It's whenever I see that word feeding specialist
yes.
or breastfeeding expert.
Yes.
Or, I think if you were a breastfeeding expert, you'd be calling yourself an IBCLC.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't be calling yourself an expert.
No.
You would actually use
the
accreditation.
Title. Yeah.
So I personally always see that as a red flag.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is there training out there that's not recognised as peer support or breastfeeding counsellor?
Yeah, I mean, any course, you can set up a breastfeeding course, and then you can say, after you've completed this, you are a breastfeeding specialist.
But what I wonder what the difference is between why can't you call yourself a counsellor?
Is that, I think you can.
Can you?
But that doesn't sound good enough, does it? You're better.
I don't know. I just find the whole thing very, I mean, for me, working in
yes.
in it, I find it confusing. So I don't know what parents must think.
No. It is. But welcome to the land of confusion. That is the whole point with
yeah,
a breastfeeding.
Yeah.
It's so confusing and difficult. That's, you know, when it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be.
I mean, my go-to is always IBCLC.
Yeah.
If it's anything beyond position and attachment.
Yes. Same here.
Straight to an IBCLC. I don't know what a specialist is.
No.
I don't know what an expert is.
And I don't know unless I come across a really good breastfeeding counsellor.
Well, to me, it's you may as well
Go straight to the
IBCLC
yeah.
because yeah. they're going to be able to cover all bases.
That's it.
It's a difficult one, but
yeah,
that's the trouble with this country, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't make it easy.
No, definitely not. So, gosh, yeah, we got there in
the
end.
What is the answer to that dilemma?
Well, most dilemmas don't have an answer, do they? And I think that's hopefully, though, that's given everyone some food for thought.
Question time!
Okay. Since you are half asleep, Siobhan,
sorry.
From your night work,
from
I will
night.
Read a question from a doula who's saying, I've just seen a job advertised and it's another doula who's looking for 9 days cover of her on-call period. Now, would this be a backup doula role or should this be a shared care?
Okay.
And I think that, yeah, I
think anything more than 7 days.
Oh, so you have a straight answer.
Well, I just think if you need more than 7 days of cover.
Yeah.
surely the right thing to do is to properly introduce this other doula as a shared care.
Yeah. So if you need someone to cover your on-call period for 9 days where you're not going to be available, if you do a backup, which would suggest the backup doula might meet with a client, will get paid for those 9 days.
Yeah.
But
9 days, though, to ask someone to be your backup.
Yeah.
I mean, a basic rate, a day rate for backup.
Yeah.
To ask someone to cover you for 9 days.
Yeah.
And not have anything on the for like, what, themselves.
Roughly 200 quid maybe you'll get. 180, 200 quid, £20 a day.
Yeah. So it's quite a big ask, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know I've seen this come up in doula groups.
Okay.
For Christmas periods.
All right.
Where people have asked for backup cover from like the 23rd of December until the 2nd of January. I think,
don't know, take the client.
Do you think they came down in the last shower? You know, like a backup?
Yeah.
To cover the most.
Yeah.
Expensive part of the year.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But the thing is, like, if I am the. It's my client. I'm going to get paid my birth doula fee.
Mm.
And then if I take on backups for long periods of time, say I'll take on 3 clients in a month.
Yeah.
And I just use 2 different backups.
Right.
Or 3 maybe. I don't know how many I need. Probably only 2 backups and 1 will be my main priority client. I'm going to make a lot more money doing that, aren't I, than doing shared care.
Yeah, you are. But what about the doula that you are asking to be the backup?
Because if you do shared care, you kind of share the client more. The other doula will get more involved. You will also pay them probably more.
Well, you equal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apart from the birth portion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So,
well, I guess it depends on the client. I mean, look, if the client's like, no, I really want you. It depends what the reason the backup is. Are you going off on holiday?
Yeah.
That's not a backup. If that client gives birth in those 9 days,
yeah,
it is going to be the backup doula,
yes,
because you're
exactly.
not in the country,
yeah.
or you're, you know, 100 miles away. Or is it 9 days where it's overlapping with somebody else?
Yeah.
Where there is a potential you might not need them.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't know... I don't know if it kind of comes with experience, but I don't think a lot of people really think it through.
Which part?
The whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
Because with a backup, you think, yes, of course, you would tell your second client, you know, there is a potential, you know, I have a client booked already, just in the very rare chance that you both went into labour at the same time, I have a backup.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if client two goes into labour before client one?
Yeah.
Have you told client two that you're going to walk out of her birth,
yeah,
and replace yourself with a backup?
Yeah.
Have they actually told them that?
Yeah, you need to do that, don't
you?
You
do need to do
yeah,
that. And
yeah.
actually, when you do that,
yeah,
suddenly the clients will be like, oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
What, you mean you would actually leave me in the yeah. middle of labour
yeah.
and send a stranger in?
Yeah.
Or someone I've only met once?
Yeah.
Because that's the reality.
Yeah. Yeah, it might seem... You know, it might seem like a good idea at the time. It's also very stressful because you get quite, you know, your clients rely on you.
The thing is as well, though, no matter how much you tell them and they're like, yeah. When it comes to it.
Yeah.
It all that goes out the window.
Yeah.
You know, I in the past have offered a birth only option.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no on-call period at all.
Okay.
There's just one antenatal where we talk through your preferences.
Yeah.
There's no postnatal visit.
No.
I will only attend the birth if I'm available.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very clear.
Yes.
On what that was.
So they pay you a fee for that and you'll give something
much,
back.
Much bigger reduced fee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can't do the
If
birth.
I can't attend the birth, then the birth portion is paid
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
So basically all I charge for is my 2-hour antenatal
yes.
that I do with them and what I would charge for
the birth.
Portion of
yeah.
my package.
Yeah.
So it's a much cheaper way.
Of course.
But there's a risk.
Yeah.
You know, and it's only if I'm available.
Yeah.
And I can remember going back, you know, 4 or 5 years now, where I was going to do a university visit with
yeah.
my son and this particular person who had been their doula before with their first.
Okay, but they didn't want to book the full package.
They didn't
package
want the full
yet.
Package, you see.
They just wanted you at the birth.
Yeah. So she phones up, you know, oh, you know, a little bit niggly. I said, okay, well, I said, you know, I'm going to be away until at least 6-7 o'clock this evening. Okay, but if things pick up, you'll drive back, won't you? No, I won't, because I'm not available today.
Yeah.
So even though I had gone over it again and again and again, in that moment, all they think is, well, I need you.
Yeah.
It was all fine.
Yeah.
But it just really made me realise, my God, I could not have made that any more clear. And yet still, well, you will drive back the 200 miles if I need you sooner. No, I won't, because I'll be in the middle of a university visit. So, no, I won't be driving back.
And you didn't book me to be on call.
No.
You booked me to come to your birth if I could.
If I'm available.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean the only reason I'm not available is because I'm with someone else in labour. For anything.
Yeah.
If I'm going out for dinner, I'm not available.
No.
But it made me think, wow, I couldn't have made it any clearer. And yet when it came to it, obviously, of course they are consumed in
themselves.
Yeah, but
then they should pay the price.
Yes, but the reason I've brought that up is because I don't know. I think a lot of doulas, it can be a little bit on a wing and a prayer.
Yeah.
It's all kind of like flying by the seat of your pants.
Yes.
Until something happens and then you go, oh, actually, I haven't really thought this through.
No.
And that's a horrible situation to be in
because
the buck stops with you.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important when you are doing backup to explain to that second client that if you go into labour before my first client and then they ring me and need me, I'm actually not prioritising you anymore.
No.
I am going to walk out of your birth to go to that client.
Yeah.
I don't know how many get that.
But also, you, because that's the issue. So you've been with this client now for 16 hours.
Mm.
So you went out, you haven't slept, you've been up all night.
Yeah.
And then now the client that booked you first, which should have been your priority client, gets a very tired doula.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're number one, you're walking out on the second job you took on with a backup.
Yeah.
And also you're not really given...
You're crying. You're driving down the motorway going, what has happened to my life? Why?
But you see, so I really think that you can't, you have to really say to the second you take, second person, you have to really say, I cannot come to your birth until my priority client has given birth. So if you go into labour before
then
they
I will send my backup. Yeah, I think that's how you'd have to word it.
And then they're very clear.
Because
that's
less cutthroat than I will walk out of your birth.
Exactly. But you can do that too. They have an option. But like you say, the emotional, how they're going to feel in that moment.
Yeah. Can you imagine walking out of someone's birth?
But no, I can't. But
exactly.
The thing is, if you are doing this, if it's that close, it would be much better to have a shared care, because then the other doula would be more invested with you and your client because you are sharing the
But then
the
with
job.
Shared care, you see, another thing with shared care is you have to take on double the amount of work because you're only getting half the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. People say, oh, it's great because you're only on call for half of it. No, you're not.
Because you have the other clients.
Because you're telling your clients... No, because you're telling your clients, oh, the beauty of booking shared care is if I'm not available, you get a doula that you know equally as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which is basically saying you're both on call all the time.
Yeah.
Because if something happens to your colleague,
yes,
you need to step in. You can't send a backup.
No.
Because you're offering shared care.
Yeah.
So the client is saying, well, I'm going to get one of these two doulas.
Yeah.
And even if I get one on their way and something happens and they can't make it, the other one's going to turn up. So when you see doulas saying, oh, it's great because you're only on call for 2 weeks. No, you're not.
No.
Because you need to be your colleague's backup.
Yeah.
Until she's there
supporting,
you still need to be on call.
Yeah, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. So that's why my motto is work for yourself and put your prices up and just take one client on.
Well, that's always worked better for me too. To be honest. But I guess the only way it's going to work doing shared care or working with a colleague and taking on lots of clients is that you only pay for the birth. Like if I have a client, you have a client, then we take on two more clients and we kind of share those. One of those, so I have two clients, you have two clients.
Right.
But we support each other with all of those clients.
Right.
And we do it like we exchange the services. So you don't have to pay me for a shared care. You don't pay me for doing a shared care. But if you end up going to one of my clients' birth, I will then pay you for that birth.
Yeah.
But you don't get paid for anything else.
Okay.
That way, so I guess you'll still make up.
What happens if I go to your client's birth and then my client calls and is in labor?
Then I would have to go.
But you're already at another birth because that's why you're not there. That's why I'm there, because then you're not available.
We have to have another person.
There you go. So now we're bringing a third person in. The money pot's getting even smaller.
It's
very difficult, isn't it? I mean, I don't have the answer. I'm just saying.
No, exactly. No,
these
I know.
The things that are, you really have to sit and think about.
Yes. But I guess then you would pay for a backup.
So I guess going back to we've gone on a bit of a
tangent. Yeah, we have. Have done that all day today so far.
I just think, just my own personal opinion, I think if you need cover for more than 7 days, you should probably think more along the lines of a shared care rather than...
I would go as far as saying more than 5 days.
I guess
like
a
weekend.
It depends what the reason is. If you're going on holiday.
Yeah.
Then you're definitely not going to be here for those dates. So you should have a shared care.
But if it's like a beginning of the on-call period and you're overlapping with potentially with another client, so it's for 3 or 4 days.
So then it's...
Then you can have a backup, can't you?
Yeah, you can, as long as you've explained fully
what that means.
What that actually looks like to the client, because it's...
Well,
there we go. Question time.
She was wondering, whether...
I don't know. We've given her more questions than we've given her answers to.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
However...
Feel free to write in again.
Yeah. with follow-up questions.
Follow-up questions.
But it is, there's a lot to consider.
Nice.
And most of all, the communication, like you say, has to be very clear.
It has to be.
Client and doula, and also doula and
doula. Doula, for sure.
So important. Mm. The Doula Dose, your weekly dose of doula. Thank you, Annabelle. So, you know, my favourite doula dose.
You love saying those two words.
Well, today, my friends, want to talk a little bit about zest midwives. Do you come across
zest?
Zest. See my Swedish accent. It's a Z. They recently posted a reel which talks about, so basically zest, it's a private midwife, they private midwives?
Private midwives.
And when you hire a private midwife in the UK, you have a home birth, for example, which most private midwives do, home births.
Yeah.
You need to have a second midwife.
Yes.
Like if you have the NHS team there, they'll have two midwives.
Yeah, so they have a certain criteria they have to fill for their insurance purposes.
Is this zest?
Any midwife.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the NHS. They have to have two midwives there because one for the mother if she needs medical attention and one for the baby. So you have two medically trained people there.
Yeah.
So Zest have decided that they are using a second assistant. They call them midwives assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of doulas have been kind of approached or been interested in this or looked at, maybe we can work for Zest and you get paid a fee. Now, Zest posted that they don't call their midwife assistants doulas because it has a negative connotation with the word slave.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying that the word doula means slave in today's world, in 2024.
Yeah.
Which... I think, looking at the thread on Instagram, it looks like there's a few comments that have been removed, but let's be clear. Okay. The word doula, or actually you pronounce it doula, ancient Greek.
Yeah.
And was used in the Bible to write about, there was doulas and doulos. So you have the male and the female version of the same word, which meant servant or slave. And they were people, well, I mean, it still exists today, slavery, all across the world. It's not, you know, and it always has done in all different cultures. And this word was kind of given to Dana Raphael. When they talk about Dana Raphael, she's an anthropologist that wrote about doulas in a book back in the 1970s. But that word was given to her by another woman who called herself a doula.
Right.
She didn't go and read the Bible and think, oh, I'm going to use this word. So it's really kind of unclear how, like, the actual facts around why this word was used.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as it's evolving, and we're not talking ancient Greek, the word doula actually refers to a person who provides emotional, informational, practical support before, during, and after childbirth. Not medically trained at all. That's the big key there. So my concern is, like, why are midwives paying non-medically trained doulas, who they don't call doulas, to come and help them out at home births?
So they're called mamas. So they're calling them midwife assistant, mother assistant. That's where the anagram comes
from.
So
if you're familiar with the rules around midwifery, it's very clear. I don't like using the word as attend. Mm-hmm. You know how you hear sometimes doulas say, I attended a birth?
Yeah.
That word attend is actually used in the law around who can attend a woman in labor.
Right.
And to attend someone, I know it's only a word, but you are not allowed, or it's against the law, to attend a woman in labor unless you are a midwife.
Yeah.
And that gets confused a lot of the time, because what does it mean to attend as a midwife? Well, obviously you are doing medical things.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening into the baby's heart tone. Maybe you're, you know, checking the temperature and blood pressure of the mum, doing all those tests, you know, the regular checks that are done during childbirth. So what are doulas doing that now, who are not called doulas, but they're called mamas? Did you speak to someone?
I think this post is interesting.
Yeah.
Their take on it is that they're not using the word doula, or they don't call their assistants doulas because of the implications around slavery.
Yes.
Well, actually, that's not really the case at all.
No.
And I'm actually glad they don't call their assistants doulas, because their assistants are not doulas.
No, you're not a doula if you are a midwife's assistant.
No. No. If you're attending a birth,
exactly,
they're actually employed by the midwife who's attending the birth.
Okay.
So each midwife will get their own bookings. I mean, I think this is, it's kind of like a directory of where people can find independent midwives.
Okay.
Those independent midwives will then be commissioned by the parents to work with them.
Yeah.
And then that midwife has to find a second.
So why is that midwife not finding a second midwife, which it should be? Because
that would cost a lot of money.
Oh, here we go. Follow the money.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you're a qualified midwife and you're in attendance as a qualified midwife, then obviously you're going to want to be paid your worth.
But what happens
to these? It's a cheaper way of doing it, isn't it? So it's they use doulas. They use they call them maternity assistants. I don't know what that is. They use student midwives as well.
Okay.
So
who's responsible? Like, if you go to a home birth as a mama, did you say they're called mamas?
Mamas.
With a qualified midwife. And yes, I know, birth overall is pretty safe. You're 99.9% likely nothing's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
But what in their situation then, if the baby is not very responsive when the baby's born, mm-hmm. and the mother is
bleeding out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as the doula, mama, yeah. mm-hmm. mamas, not
as the mama.
Yeah. What training do I have to deal with this? Should I try? Am I trained to resuscitate the baby? Am I trained to give injections? Can I give injections to it?
I have no idea. So it'd be great to hear from anybody that is a mama to tell us.
Yes.
What happens? I know that the if you want to be a mama, you obviously have to attend their training days. They have
is it a medical training?
Well, I think they have a drills and skills day, okay. which I think they do expect the mamas to attend.
Yeah.
I think the important thing for doulas, anyone that is a doula, to remember is that if you are working as a mama,
yeah,
that you absolutely do not have your doula hat on.
Yes.
You have to be very clear,
yeah,
which role you are doing. And we've obviously had, we have an accreditation program, yes. at Birth Bliss,
yeah,
where we support newly trained doulas,
yeah.
in their first few births,
yeah.
and postnatal jobs, and they work very closely with a coach. And obviously, yeah. for each job that they work through, there's a criteria that we have that, yeah. they need to meet.
Yes,
and we have had a couple of our doulas talk about joining Zest and could they use those jobs towards their accreditation, and we've had to be quite clear that no, they can't,
no.
because they are not there in the role of a doula. They are there in the role of a mama.
Yeah, and also they're it's not their client.
No,
like it's the midwife's client, and they're the midwife's assistant.
Yes, they are. Well, Zest will say they are there to assist the midwife and the mother.
It's really. Do you know what? I this reminds me of going back to when I had regular meetings with the RCM back in long time ago, probably nearly 10 years ago, no, 8 years ago, and there was another private midwifery company,
mm.
that was offering something called a doula midwife.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to be able to speak to the secretary of the RCM at the time, the head honcho, very lovely woman, can't remember her name now, and she straight away got on the phone and phoned that company and said, look, you can't be a midwife doula, you're either a midwife
or a doula,
or you are a doula.
Yeah, it's like comparing apples and pears.
Exactly. You can't be just, or I'm advising you, I'm not actually medically doing anything, I'm just your advisor as a doula. But doulas don't give advice.
No.
So there you go. Yeah. There you go.
There needs to be a clear definition, exactly. in the two roles. So, I mean, you know, when we look at their post on the social media where they're talking about they don't use the word doula because of the connotations around slavery, I mean, that...
They shouldn't, because they're not doulas.
They shouldn't be even considering using the word doula, because what these people are doing in their company is not what a doula does.
No. No, exactly that.
So I'm glad they're called mamas.
Yes, I'm glad they're called mamas, but it's
the term doula.
But it's interesting.
But I don't think it's to do with. I think the slavery thing is an excuse.
Yes,
I think they'd get in a lot of trouble if they use the word doula, especially.
They would.
You know, I don't know where their insurance would stand with that.
No, because doulas have, and that's the other thing doulas should look at when they are. I guess they. So the doula really is just like a hired in help. They're, yeah. like a contractor, yeah. on the job.
Yeah, it's cheap labour.
Yeah.
I mean, it clearly passes the insurance,
yes.
Standards.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's be realistic. At the end of the day, the midwife who's getting paid for the job,
yeah.
through the clients that are booking her, yeah. is looking at the most cost-effective way, yeah. to make the most money she can. Yeah. And to do that is to hire in cheaper labour,
yeah.
which is not a second midwife. It's one of these mamas.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important that doulas
see it for what it is.
See it for what it is.
I think it sounds a little bit like wannabe midwife.
I mean, yeah, you know, maybe if you want to, you know, if you want to maybe dabble in what it's like to be a midwife, then that's great. Go ahead and do it. But you're not doing it as a role of a doula.
No. Yeah, it's anyway, it's a little dose there for you all to think about.
It'd be great to hear from anyone that does, you know, any doulas that are working with them, you know, how does that work? Do people see you as a doula?
How much do you get paid?
Well, that apparently, so when I did ask questions about this, you know, interestingly, I was genuinely interested, like, what is the fees? It's down to each individual midwife to decide what they pay you. And I asked, were you expected to be on call?
Yeah.
And yes, you are. You're expected to be on call.
And well, how much does the midwife cost?
Don't know.
They're usually around, what, £6,000 to £8,000?
Something like that.
So £6,000 to £8,000 and a doula.
The midwife has to pay for the insurance to cover herself and the mama.
Okay.
So the midwife is responsible for the insurance.
Okay.
But then I don't know how much you're being paid to be on call, to meet them.
Yeah.
To go and meet the parents. And
do you do like antenatal stuff? Do they do?
I don't know if you're expected to. I suppose that's down to each individual midwife, what she requires from her second. And I guess it's down to each individual midwife to decide what they're paying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right, Siobhan, as always.
What?
They should not be called doulas.
Well, they're not. Because they're not. And that's the good thing.
Yeah, that's a really good thing.
I don't see that post as a negative. Well, I mean, I just think that, you know, using the slavery is just...
Well, it's not very, like, it's not very nice to...
I don't know just why they
just posed about that as a thing.
Yeah, I don't know what why they felt the need.
Because we all know,
the need to say that's the reason.
Yeah.
No, the reason you don't call them doulas is because... You know,
they're not
doulas, and you wouldn't get insurance.
No,
and you'd probably lose your PIN.
Yeah, but I also think that, you know, when I have midwives come through the doula training course, sometimes it's even more unpacking, more unlearning, thinking differently, you know, remembering, or I don't need to be responsible for that now.
Yeah.
I don't need to worry about all those things now.
Yeah.
When you start going as a mama and you're also mamas and a doula, you're doing both roles.
Mm.
Like, what is it making you think about yourself afterwards? Like, so now I'm a doula today and I was a midwife's assistant yesterday. How do you jump between the roles? How do you actually, who do you think you are, like, at the end of the day?
Yeah,
am I a midwife? Am I a doula? Am I a mamas?
It's a very muddied water.
I think so.
So I can see why, you know, student midwives.
Yeah. I just read senior student midwife. I didn't know there was such a thing.
I don't know you're either a student midwife or you're not.
Junior?
It
must mean that they are very, very qualified.
As in, they're not first years.
I have no idea.
I don't know what that means.
They're obviously trying to big up the second role. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Well, I think, you just... I just think doulas need to be careful. Student midwives, I mean, it is basically that's the role
exactly.
they're going into anyway. So that kind of makes sense that they would want to do it.
Yeah.
And whatever these... What is it? Maternity?
I think it was like experienced birth.
I don't know what that is.
Birth support workers.
That was it.
Something like that.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But I just think, you know, doulas just need to be very, very careful about what. Right. And what happens if the doula. So obviously, the let's say the woman's in labour, the midwife rings you to say, right, she's in labour, I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
What if something happens to the midwife en route and you get there first and that baby's about to be born?
Yeah.
You're there.
Something goes wrong.
What are you there as?
Yeah.
Are you expected to have medical equipment with you?
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, it would be great if they could put some of these questions or answers to these questions on the website because then it would be easier to see what that role is.
Yeah.
Because at the moment it's quite a minefield to find the answers out to those questions.
But we'll just help them out with some frequently asked questions. FAQs they can add to the website.
Be good to know more.
And I guess that's always the case when you can't find out information.
Then you start assuming and making assumptions, which obviously it would be good to have that information. It would be nice if it was on the website.
Yeah. Well, we can be contacted at thedoulaDispensary@gmail.com. thedoulaDispensary@gmail.com. And you also have our contact details for Siobhan and Kiki. But anyway, that is the dose of the month.
Ba-da-ba-da-bow. End of the show. Oh. So, what are you up to next month?
Oh, next month, I got to course in London. Yes. Starting on the 11th of March.
Brilliant.
And then I think we've got some things we're doing together.
Oh, yes, we're going on Molly O'Brien's Biomechanics Day.
Yes, yeah. That's going to be, I'm really excited about that.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be great. And we're also going to the film, the showing of...
What's it called? Home Birth? Yes, in Aylesbury.
Yes, if they sell enough tickets.
Yeah, so come on, if you want to join us for the screening in Aylesbury of Home Birth,
yeah.
Then please buy your tickets online. I think they need to send at least another 20.
I think another 20 something left to sell, isn't there? So yeah, that'd be great. It'd be great to see. There's quite a few of us going.
Yes, and we should definitely go for drinks afterwards.
Yeah,
because I think it's 6:30, really early.
It's an early one. Yeah,
so definitely have time to have a cup of tea afterwards.
It's a cup of tea. I'm not on call. Definitely wine.
Ooh, do you
definitely
want me to drive
wine.
Then?
Let's get a cab. Sod it.
Oh wow!
Right. So well.
That's it for this month's doula dispensary. And we look forward to hearing from you with any thoughts on what we covered in this podcast this month.
Yeah.
And your thoughts.
And send feedback. Us some questions, any dilemmas, any questions. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, so I guess that's all we got to say is
see you next month.
Listeners should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein. Do 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 do.